honest with God. Then his oldest friend, Eliphaz, used experience, observation, and majority opinion as authority to say, whoever perished being innocent. In other words, karma is real. Job responded by saying, pity should be showed from his friends. Rather than accuse me, you should be empathizing with me. Then his second oldest friend, Bildad, said, the hypocrite's hope shall perish. In other words, prosperity theology is real. And he based that on tradition and basically said that Job's children died because of sin. So last week we saw how Job said, we cannot argue with God. In other words, I don't understand why this is happening, but I'm not going to argue with the Lord. And we have to be ever so careful about allowing the devil to trick us into arguing with the Lord when we go through intense trials, because the temptation is definitely there. And here in chapter 10, he continues his discourse, Job does. So in number one, he says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave any complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days, that thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay. And wilt thou bring me into the dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction. For it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increasest thine indignation upon me. Changes in war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then, and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go, whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness and darkness itself, and of the shadow of death, without any order, and where the light is as darkness. So I'm going to take my title from verse 15, where he said, I am full of confusion. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you'd teach us and grow us through your powerful word tonight. Lord, may it just continue to give us direction and help and understanding about suffering and why you allow it in our lives. As we read about this man that existed, Lord, and how he handled these intense trials. So may your will be done in our hearts. We thank you for the privilege to be here and love you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So we see here that Job, again, is being honest with the Lord. He still doesn't understand, and he won't until the end of the book. Why has God allowed so many terrible things from an earthly perspective to happen to him, for him to lose his children, for him to lose his living, for him to lose his health, and then for his friends to come and not be friends, but to be accusers? Why is God allowing this? But in this crying out to the Lord, he did acknowledge some things, and you saw that, some things that are important for us to always acknowledge as well when we go through suffering. And that was in number 7, he said, the suffering is not as a result of sin. He recognizes that. And you've heard me say this before, but I don't think it's going to be a surprise when our suffering is as a result of chastisement, which it sometimes may be. But if it is, then it won't be very effective if we don't even know we're being chastised, will it? But the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, in Hebrews 12:6. So Job is saying, I recognize that this is not chastisement. that you've allowed this suffering. I don't necessarily understand the why, but I do know, as he says in verse 7, thou knowest that I'm not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. I know, Lord, this is not because of sin. And when we have suffering in our lives, the Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide us if it's because of sin, if it is chastisement, and show us that we need to repent. But as you study through Scripture, you'll find that the majority of suffering is not chastisement. The majority of suffering is refinement. And that is found in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Let's look at a couple of scriptures on this. Psalm 119 and verse 71. And see that, again, suffering is typically for refinement, not chastisement. David says in verse 71 of Psalm 119, it's good for me that I've been afflicted and I might learn of thy statutes. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. In faithfulness. Then if we could look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. I just want us to get a hold of this great truth that the majority of suffering in a Christian's life is refinement, not chastisement. And Job is acknowledging that he understands that in the midst of his suffering. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, 1 Peter 1:6, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then 1 Peter 5:10, we'll stop there with this list of scriptures. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. It's just a sampling. But you'll find that the majority of scriptures that talk about suffering in our lives talk about God using it for our good. God using it to refine us, conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, to grow us in our faith. And that is the case with Job. And eventually we're going to see him say in chapter 23, verse 10, when ye have tried me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. That's where the song came from, Job 23:10. So back to our passage, Job is acknowledging that he understands that this is not because of sin. It is not chastisement. That doesn't mean he understands the overall purpose of it. We were given a glimpse of heaven, but he wasn't. Remember that. We saw what took place between the devil and God, but he didn't see that. So in verse 8, he says, thine hands have made me, and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. So what he's saying is, I understand it's not because of sin. I also acknowledge that you are the Creator. And as my Creator, you have the right to do whatever you want in my life, even if it's suffering. It takes a long time for some Christians to get to that point, to where they're willing to say that and mean it. Lord, I acknowledge that you made me, that I'm your child, and that you have the right to allow in my life whatever you choose. That's really where complete trust comes in, isn't it? How many times do we read in the Scriptures, trust in the Lord? But that's real trust when you say, Lord, you're allowed to do whatever you want in my life. This trial is intense. It hurts. It's hard on me, but I trust you. I trust you. And that's what Job was saying when he said, I shall come forth as gold. But he's saying as the Creator, if you go to Revelation 4:11, this is a truth that we must always carry before us in the midst of suffering, and that is this: God, as our Creator, as our Father, gets to decide what is best for us. And that may include suffering. Notice Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. What does that mean? That God sets the rules, but also that God has the right to do whatever He wants with His creation. Now, we, of course, are His recreation, amen, through salvation in Jesus Christ. But now we've declared Him as our Father and as our Lord. So as His servant or His slave, we're acknowledging You have the right as my Master to do whatever You please in my life. So He is the Creator. Go back to our passage. He goes on to acknowledge in verse 12, Thou hast granted me life and favor. And Thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. In other words, if it wasn't for You, I wouldn't even be alive. And we can all say that, can't we? He gave us the breath that we breathe. He gave us the life that we have. He gives it every day, every week, every month, every year. God gives us life and allows us to live. Again, we're acknowledging His sovereignty in doing whatever He pleases. Verse 13, And these things hast thou hid in thine heart, I know that this is with thee. He's saying, Lord, I know that You know what You're doing. I don't know what You're doing or why, but I know that You know. In other words, it's not a surprise to God that Job is suffering, is it? And it's not a surprise to God whenever we go through suffering. We shouldn't come to God and say, oh, by the way, Lord, I'm suffering. He knows that, and He allowed it. And that's what Job has acknowledged. He said, Lord, You've given me life, and You know what You're doing. And as he says, I know that this is with Thee. You understand. I don't understand. You understand. That's complete trust. Verse 14, If I sin, then Thou markest me, and Thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. In other words, God knows everything. Again, that's important for us to acknowledge, isn't it? God knows everything. Go to Psalm 90, verse 8, and we'll see that God knows everything that happens in our lives. Jesus said, every idle word we will give account for. And here in Psalm 90, verse 8, look what the Bible says. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance, our secret sins. They may be secret to other people, but they're not secrets to God. And that's what Job is acknowledging. Lord, there's no surprises in the why of the suffering, but there's also no surprises in the sin in my life. You know all of it. And he's saying, as far as I can tell, this isn't because of suffering, because I've already examined my heart. And as far as I can tell, this isn't punishment. This is something else. This is refinement. And so in verse 15, he says, If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. So if I'm living in sin, woe unto me. God will deal with me. He says, if this isn't because of sin, I'm not going to lift up my head in pride and say, Lord, this isn't fair, or Lord, You've made a mistake. I'm just going to trust the Lord. But he does admit, I am full of confusion. Now, why would we be confused? Well, Isaiah 55 is our answer, verses 8 and 9. So let's turn there. It's because we are so limited in our understanding of God. Everything that we understand about God, we get from one place, amen? And that is His Word. But God chose not to reveal everything to us until we get to heaven. So notice Isaiah 55, verse 8, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Therefore, it shouldn't be surprising if we're confused sometimes, because we're so much lower in our understanding of God's ways. We don't understand everything about God. God told us so right here. He could have chosen to reveal it all to us. He chose not to. Again, that's where trust comes in. I'm going to trust that my Creator is good. He says He is, that He's loving, that He's patient, that He's graceful, and so forth. I'm going to trust it because He tells me so, but that doesn't mean I know everything. I don't know the why. I don't know how God thinks. I don't know what God thinks, but I trust Him. And that's what he's saying. I'm full of confusion because I don't understand everything about God. Psalm 139, if you want to turn there, verse 6, David said a similar thing about God. Notice Psalm 139, verse 6. He starts by saying in verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Lord God, You know everything about me. But look what he says in verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. No matter how hard I try, I'm never going to completely understand God, is what David is saying here. I'm never going to attain unto it in this life. And then go to Romans 11, and Paul says a similar thing about God. That sometimes we will be confused, as Job was. And when those times come, what's the answer? To complain, to moan, to yell at God? No. To trust Him. Which is what Job is doing. Notice Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? Those are rhetorical questions, which we know the answer is no one. No one is God's counselor. No one has known the mind of the Lord. No one has given to Him, and He doesn't owe anybody anything. This is Paul speaking to us and saying His ways are past finding out. So Job is acknowledging that. He says, Lord, I'm full of confusion. I don't completely understand everything that's going on in my life. But never, as we've read, does he blame God or get angry at God or argue with God, like we saw last week. No contention. He's just being honest with God that he doesn't understand. And that's okay. That's when we can truly say, I trust God to do what's best for me. I don't understand the why, but I understand the who. Amen? And that was Job. It's hard for us to empathize with what he was going through. Such intense pain and suffering. And then to have his supposed friends come and pour more coals on the fire with their lies and their accusations. But we can certainly relate to his trust. And we'll see him make amazing statements in chapter 13, verse 15. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even if God's plan is to kill me with all of this, I'm not going to stop trusting him. That should always be our attitude. I'll be honest with God, but I'll never accuse, argue with God. I will trust God. Even when I'm confused, I believe that God is not confused and knows what he's doing in my life. So what a great truth. Let's pray. Thank you.